Our reading from the Hebrew Bible finally gets us to the end of the book of Job. Job chapter 42, the last one, 1 through 6 and 10 through 17. Just a real quick context for where we are. Job was afflicted with all this horrible disease. His life was in tatters. He questions why God won't answer him. And eventually, calling God to take responsibility for his actions, God shows up out of a whirlwind and says to Job, "You don't get it, do you? Where were you when I created this earth? Where were you when I made all of creation?" And so finally, after this long lecture by the Almighty, Job finally has a response. Then Job answered the Lord, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear and I will speak, I will question you, and you declare to me, I had heard of you by the hearing of my ear, but now my eye sees you. And therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then there came to him all his brothers and sisters and all who had known him before, and they ate bread with him in his house. They showed him sympathy and comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him, and each of them gave him a piece of money and a gold ring. And that scene is what's on the front of your bulletin. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He named the first Jemima, the second Keziah, and the third Keren Hapuk. In all the land there were no women so beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father gave them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and his children's children 4 generations. And Job died old and full of days. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson comes from Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 to 28. You can find that in your New Testament on page 208. Furthermore, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it is fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he has no need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. This he did once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests those who are subject to weakness, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, if you've been following the lectionary, you know we've been dancing through Job and moving through Hebrews, and now we're also moving through the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Some wonderful stories, including today's reading. So today, if you would turn to Mark 10, verses 46 through 52, and you'll find that in your pew Bible on page 44, And hopefully you can find it in your own Bible if you have that with you as well. And this comes right on the heels of the story from last week where James and John are asking to be on the right and left side of Jesus. And Jesus says, that's not mine to give. And also Jesus reminds them and us that Christ came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve. And that is our calling as well. But they continue on. They came to Jericho, and Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd, as they were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and said, call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, my teacher, let me see again. Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. But immediately Bartimaeus regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, this past week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I wasn't on the road to Jericho, but I did have the opportunity to go to the Rocky Mountain Conference Clergy Orders Retreat, which is the other time. There's the annual conference in the summertime, and then later in the fall, the clergy members get together and meet with the bishop and talk about what's going on. And this, I'd never been to one of these retreats before, so I went this year. And this year, the retreat, as most years, was held at the Snow Mountain Ranch, which is YMCA of the Rockies, Granby, Colorado. Some of you may be familiar with the property. It's up about 8,750 feet above sea level. And so when you go up to the camp, it is literally surrounded by this gorgeous Rocky Mountain scenery. So I definitely wanted to go. Besides great meetings, it was a great opportunity to be there in God's wilderness as well. And as many of you know, I like to spend a lot of time outside walking. And this was too good a chance for me to, some of the times when we weren't in sessions, I had to go outside and walk around Snow Mountain Ranch. And so what I'd like to do is tell you a story, short story, of three of the walks that I was able to do this week. And as I do, I want you to think about the stories of Job and Bartimaeus, because I think there are some connections for you. Well, if you recall, Wednesday morning, down here around Denver, I wasn't here, but I understand that it was pretty snowy, that there was snow on the ground for quite a bit of the day as it snowed on and off. Well, up there where we were, it spit snow and rain throughout the day, but it never accumulated on the ground. It was cold, but it never got white. Well, that morning I got up real early, as I often do, and I read some scripture, and I wrote in my journal. And then I decided, no, I needed to get outside and take a walk. So I raised my collar to the cold, and I took off from the camp and decided I'd walk out along the entrance road toward the highway. Well, how many of you have ever been to Snow Mountain Ranch? Can you picture that? Okay, so you may know. Well, as I was trudging along through the darkness, I got to looking around. Now, the front was right there over that part of Colorado. And so the clouds were very low. They were probably only 100 feet above where I was walking. So I couldn't see any of the mountains that I knew were there. And if you've been up to that part of Granby and that road, you know that that area of Colorado has really been hard hit by the pine beetle infestation. Well, the YMCA has taken a very aggressive stance on the pine beetle kill, and they've gone in and cut down many of the dead and dying trees. Well, as it turns out, this place that I was walking might as well have been a clear-cut operation. All the trees were gone. So I'm walking along through this low overhang. It's spitting snow and rain at me. And I'm looking off to the right and to the left. and it's sort of a desolate landscape. There were a few pine trees that were still alive, but mostly I was looking out to scrub bushes and some grass and a few pine saplings. That's about all it was. So pretty much that Wednesday morning, I was walking out of habit because there really wasn't much to see. Well, later on that day, as we were in sessions, as it got lighter, it rained and snowed throughout the day, and occasionally the clouds would lift a little bit so we could see that the snow line was about 200 feet above where we were, but then the clouds would lower back down. Well, that afternoon, after the sessions were over, we were told that we had a few hours of solitude. That was the bishop's word. She said, you ought to go spend some time with God. Well, again, you don't have to tell me twice to spend time with God before I'm out the door looking for a place to walk. Because Zach had gone to camp there and we had done some skiing up there one winter, I knew about some Nordic ski trails that were up on the far side of the valley. So I walked across the valley, and the ceiling hadn't raised a lot, but I could see some of the lower slopes. So I walked across the valley and came up through sort of a pine, spruce, aspen grove. I was in meadows that sort of curled around by that. And then as I got farther up, I was chugging along, pushing pretty hard. The elevation was higher, so I was breathing pretty hard, but I was also breathing in that wonderful, intoxicating aroma of spruce and fir. You know how that smells? So I was just breathing deeply, and I felt so good because I was out in God's wilderness. I felt completely at home. It felt like I was walking home in God's creation. Anyway, the trail meandered up past a meadow, and then a small caterpillar track, a bulldozer track, took off and went further up into the trees. And so I followed it. It was kind of muddy, so I was looking down as the trail went up and kind of snaked its way up into this aspen grove. So I came up over this rise, and I rose my eyes up from my shoes. And there, not 30 yards away, looking right into my eyes, was a bull moose. Now, you know, I've seen moose before, but I wasn't expecting him, nor was he expecting me. We both stood there looking at each other. And it was kind of an impasse. It was who was going to play chicken first. Well, he did. He flinched first. He was sort of chewing on his cud. And as I looked at him, big and gorgeous brown, just this wonderful spread of antlers and his big floppy ears moving along. And he had obviously had a good summer forage because he was sleek and brown. And he kind of moved off, saying, I choose to do this. And he went up into an aspen grove, and I continued on. I probably walked another 30 minutes. I walked to the top of a ridge and came back down. It was spitting snow more. And as I came back, sure enough, there he was. And he looked at me, chewing his cud. And I said something. I don't know what it was. I probably quoted scripture to him. And then I took off. It was so spectacular. Couldn't hardly believe it. Well, Thursday morning, good sessions Wednesday night. Thursday morning, I get up early, did some reading, did some writing, decided I wanted to go for a walk. It was much colder because overnight, the front had passed. Crystal clear. I went outside of the place we were staying. All the cars had hard frost on all of them. And again, I bundled up my collar and I took off down the road. And just as I could get past the camp itself and away from the glow of the lights, I looked up. And there was a sky full of the coal black sky itself and just this amazing panoply of stars and planets as far as I could see. How many of you have done that when you've been far away from a city and looked up and the darkness, darker than anything you've ever seen, and stars just screaming at you? It was so beautiful. And, you know, there was the Big Dipper, and I looked for the North Star, and then I turned, and there was Orion, and everything was right where it was supposed to be, and I'm walking along just enjoying this view. It didn't matter that I was going through that wasteland because it was so gorgeous. And then I'm walking along, and my mouth is open, you know, in that silent wow kind of thing, and four different times this electric streak of light, as the streak of light as a shooting star goes across the heavens. Unbelievable. And as I walked along, I wasn't at all scared or worried. I was just absolutely in the moment, feeling so good about where I was. And then as I looked off in the far distance, the gorgeous Rocky Mountains, everywhere you look, they'd been newly blanketed with snow. So it was like this white frame to this planetarium view of the night sky. It was unbelievable. And I knew that God was there, and that God's creation was good, and God's universe was equally good. Amazing. But those three walks were for me, and I hope for you, a metaphor for some of what was going on with Job and Bartimaeus. In this final conversation that Job has with God, he says that I spoke about things too wonderful for me to understand. Now, I don't know what the original word was, but if you think about the word in English, wonderful, not only does it mean great and good and amazing, but also full of wonder. And I suspect that as Job was having this conversation with God, Job reflected on all the tough times he had had and was full of wonder about why that had happened to him. And clearly in that story of Bartimaeus, he was also probably in a state of wonder, trying to figure out why he had been blind for most of his life, if not all of his life, why that had happened to him. You've heard the expression, the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Zach was asking me just this morning, how could God allow the Holocaust to occur? I don't know. I have no answer. How many of you have asked that of a circumstance in your life? Why do bad things happen to good people? We always have questions. There are things too wonderful for us to understand. But on the other side of the same coin, have you ever had an experience so amazing, so out of the blue, something when you thought God's blessings were so unexpected, so undeserved, so amazing that you just couldn't make sense of it either? Things too wonderful for us to understand. In the case of Job, again, he spent his whole life understanding about God. He heard about God, but it wasn't until he had survived that tough times, he had put up with the disease and loss of family. It wasn't until he survived all that that his eyes were opened and he was able to see God. He said, "My eye sees you for the first time." And in like manner, Bartimaeus, literally blind since birth, he's sitting along the side of the road. They come out of Jericho. Jesus is there. He hears that it's Jesus. And Bartimaeus knew in his heart. He said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He didn't need to be convinced. Bartimaeus' faith was so strong, he knew that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah that they had waited for. Jesus calls him over and he says, "What do you want me to do for you, partner?" And Bartimaeus says, "My teacher, let me see again." And Jesus responds, "Your faith has made you well." Bartimaeus doesn't go off and throw a party. He literally disrobes everything he owned in the world. He takes off his cloak and he doesn't miss a beat. He follows Jesus into what we then know is the trip into Jerusalem, the final trip to Calvary, if you will. Bartimaeus doesn't miss a beat. For me, things too wonderful when I was finally made aware of God's creation was coming up over that rise and looking face to face with that bull moose. That first day when I walked in the darkness, I couldn't see the mountains, but I knew they were there, but I couldn't even imagine them. The stars were still there, but I couldn't see them. I couldn't even imagine them. And yet it required me to walk those miles to come back again. And finally, God opened my eyes to show me that scenery, those incredible stars, to understand things too wonderful. Now, this is not a happy Hallmark description because, as you and I both know, there will be disease and difficulty and death that will encounter our lives many times throughout our lives. Questions we won't be able to answer, and yet God is calling us to have faith in God, as did Job, as did Bartimaeus. And as difficult as it may be to wrap your hands around those tough times in our lives, we must have the understanding that through it all, God will be right there with us, as He was for Job and for Bartimaeus. Despite all the evil in the world, there are things that are too wonderful. There is goodness and love and family and grace. My brothers and sisters, we need to know that God can and will do things too wonderful for you and for me and for our church if we will only have the eyes of faith and the goodness of God's grace in our hearts. Trust in God. God is ready to do new and amazing things in our lives, things too wonderful. Amen.